The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Motu raro mai kia on the rag. Hei kone ipurangi mō ngā manawahine. Citizens of the nation, welcome back to On the Rag, a podcast for and about the mana of women. Ko Alex Casey aho, I'm joined as always by Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora.
And Michelle Acourt.
Merry Christmas.
Hey. Yeah, well, yeah.
Is it? It's not yet.
I think we should just get stuck enough. In though.
Yeah.
The festive season.
Yeah.
2nd of December.
And it's not too early. It was too early, but it's okay now. You can put your trees up.
The zone. I nearly bought a Christmas tree yesterday, but then I thought, no, I don't know what to do. Moral quandary. Is a real one fine in 2019?
There's talk about whether plastic trees, if you use a plastic tree for 20 or more years, then the carbon emissions involved in producing it are less than chopping down a tree which tends to be 7 years old and so has done something for the planet over those 7 years before it gets chopped down. So it's a bob each way.
Goodness me.
I have a tree that's made of, I don't know, it's a thing. and it stands about 3 feet high.
Made of hopes and dreams.
It is made of hopes and dreams. And I love it. I bought it from one of my favorite local gift stores. And it's a bit weird looking. but I love it. And I hang off it souvenirs from our travels.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I think so. But I discovered... I've been doing it for years. I discovered that various people who come to my house think it's fucking ridiculous. And I'm embarrassed now. And I don't know if I want to put it up this year. Just because I'm doing Christmas differently this year. I don't want to do any of the usual things.
I don't like this tree shaming.
I feel like I will go back to it. It's got, you know, stuff from New Orleans and Niagara Falls and Italy. And I mean, they're souvenirs. So it's kind of stupid. But I think if you look at it with ironic eyes, it's great.
I went to a Christmas party yesterday with just a group of my close gal pals, and we decorated my friend's trees. She had three because she has so many Christmas decorations, she needed three. And she's the same as you. She has Christmas decorations from all around the world, everywhere she's ever been. And so she was like handing us ones that we had to put up like based on our personalities or places that we'd been or whatever. And I got given Black Santa riding a crocodile from New Orleans.
Yes, I'm familiar with Black Santa.
Yeah, and Alien Roswell.
Great.
One.
Oh, yes, great.
So cool. I was like, this is fun.
You see, this is my theory.
There were hundreds
Christmas.
Of them. It took us a while.
Wow, that's really good.
It was a good time.
It's really great. This is a feminist podcast about news and media. As you'll be well aware. Before we go any further, big shout out to our sponsors, our partners at the Women's Bookshop who make this podcast possible. If you're in Auckland, you can check them out in real life on Ponsonby Road or on the internet at www.womensbookshop.co.nz. This month, we're giving away a copy of The Seven Necessary Sins for Women and Girls by Mona El-Tahawi, a Muslim feminist legend. You might know her from her first book, Hymens and Headscarves, wonderful title for a book. Mm. If you would like to win that, you can head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ontheragpod.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound good, eh? Yeah. The book giveaways. I mean, also, get in before Christmas.
Yeah.
I promise I'll send it off on time.
Yeah. Present for you, present for someone else.
Exactly. Present, don't rip out a page. Don't rip out a page.
Don't do that.
But you could.
Sacrilegious.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talk about spin-off members briefly before we get into it.
Hey.
You may be aware we have a supporters club that we launched a couple months ago called the Spin-off Members, where you can pay as little as a dollar a week to help support our work. Things like On the Rag, things like long-form investigative journalism, whatever it is at the spin-off that you like, it's a way of contributing to that. In December, we've changed. We were giving away the spin-off book if you contributed $80 or more, but now... Tea towel.
I love a tea towel.
I love a tea towel.
Yeah.
I love a tea towel. And it's not just a normal tea towel. It is a tea towel designed by Toby Morris.
Oh,
that's the only.
Spectacular.
It's priceless.
That sounds great.
And I mean that.
Yeah.
And it's got celebrities on it. It's got the spin-off on it.
Yeah.
And it's going to look good in your kitchen.
Yes.
So if you're interested in that, you can also sign up via... www.thespinoff.co.nz/ontheragpod, and that will take you through our special link, which will get you a badge, which is also designed by Toby Morris.
Yeah.
So if you're a Toby Morris super fan, I can't think of a better way to celebrate.
Why wouldn't you be a Toby Morris super fan? Quite frankly. Oh, I burped into the microphone. I'm very sorry about that.
Hi, this is Toby Manhire, busting into your podcast to say please come and listen to our podcast too. Our podcast is Gone by Lunchtime. I'm the host, and together with Ben Thomas and Annabelle Lee Mather, we chew over the political issues of the day. It's Gone by Lunchtime. Come and check us out. Spinoff.co.nz, Gone by Lunchtime, and it's on all the podcast platforms. You know where to find them.
Seasonal glee.
Seasonal glee. Before we get on to, I want to focus a bit on seasonal glee today and gift buying and the pressures of Christmas and the pressures of summer as well. But before we get on to that, I think we probably do need to look back on what was the biggest, probably the only real story that was really sent ripples, I suppose, through particularly women in New Zealand, which was the Grace Mullane trial, which played out through the media in a quite aggressive, very overwhelming kind of a way. And I just kind of wanted to decompress out of that.
Mm.
Can I talk about what it felt like? I will never forget where I was when I heard the verdict, because I knew that it was coming that Friday, and the jury had been back in to ask the judge a question and said, we won't be long now, sir. And so I hung very near the radio, and I was actually in the shower when they did a news break and said that he had been found guilty, and I fell on the floor of the shower and cried.
Oh.
It was such a relief, and I think so many of us felt like we were holding our breath for a very long time, and didn't expect necessarily that he would be found guilty. And what we'd all been holding on to for a long time. And at the same time, the coverage of the Amber Rose case was in Christchurch, wasn't it? Mm. That, I mean, those two cases running alongside each other was overwhelming. And, yeah, so huge relief and all the feels, really. Mm.
It was a really interesting phenomenon, I thought. Kind of on reflection now, I'm like, obviously he was going to get charged, like, you know, he was going to get sentenced, but at the time, you know, and as a lot of women on Twitter and everywhere were saying, like, it felt like we didn't know.
We're so used to not winning these cases.
We're so used to not winning, even when everything's there in front of us. But, like, it's like we've been so conditioned and gaslit by the world.
We just expect injustice.
Totally.
Because the law's just there to be interpreted and manipulated by the best arguer, not to actually give justice.
Yeah.
If you're a woman or a minority, that's how all of the legal system looks to you.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
Yeah, it gave me hope. I thought the summary by the lawyer for the prosecution, the Crown prosecutor, the day before, the Thursday, where he talked about intent to murder being so evident from behaviour following the murder, that proved in tent at the time, which for a little while felt like the thing that was missing in amongst all the victim blaming and shaming of not just Grace's memory, but women who bore witness at the trial.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. There was that woman who had had a history with the accused and had what really read to me like been sexually assaulted.
Absolutely. Right? Yes.
By him.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to say that.
Yes, and, I think so.
She was questioned. There was an extraordinary, someone wrote some of the lines of questioning that that the defence kind of put in front of her. And it was, said that she had exaggerated what had happened. She wasn't really scared. She was being dramatic. He asked her repeatedly why she didn't leave the situation earlier, why she didn't raise concern about it, and why she continued to text him. You know, it's just every single part of her experience was torn apart and then said, quote unquote, you want to portray yourself as a bit of a victim.
And I think one of the thing that came through in that excellent piece on the spin-off by Nicola Gavey and also another excellent piece by Kirsty Johnston was that the men who are doing all the talking in this trial don't understand what the world looks like through women's eyes.
Mm.
That those behaviours of continuing to message someone because that's the safest thing you can do. If you cut them off, you're open to being stalked and they already know a lot of information. A whole lot of behaviours that women almost instinctively now understand they have to do to keep themselves safe, men have never thought about and read those behaviours in a completely different way.
Mm. For sure.
I was speaking to a woman who I've been interviewing on and off for about 6 months now because she's still in the throes of her own kind of sexual assault case, which the man has been sentenced and is now appealing, and this has been a kind of a two-year-long process, and she's just stuck in it. And she just said, and this is the other thing that I think, I know that the media have to report on the details of these things, and if the defence has a line of questioning that is victim blaming and slut shaming, that they still report on that, but the damage that it does and the messages that it sends to women who are stuck in the midst of a similar situation or who have had experience with sexual violence is just so fucking traumatic. And I don't know what you do about that. Like, I'm not calling out, you know, people for reporting on this stuff because it has to happen to a certain extent.
Yeah. But
I just wonder about all the repercussions of it. I know personally, like, I was in a real bind because I knew it was, like, really hurting my brain, but I couldn't stop reading it. I couldn't stop clicking on anything.
I don't think it's unreasonable to expect media to actually think about the influence they have. And I don't mean just writing more responsibly about these things, because I do think that we're seeing a bit of a change in that respect. But as you wrote about the sort of constant push notifications and a piece about every single aspect of, and like we're finally releasing the DMs between Grace and the accused, and
too far.
You know, and it's just like that, those are the things when you actually look at the sheer volume of content you're putting into the world are the bits where I think media could do a lot better.
So in terms of media coverage, I think some people were incredibly responsible and other people were very clickbaity. But one of the things that is making me hopeful is Jan Logie's bill to change the way that changes to sexual violence legislation, that before that information gets presented in court, it has to, any information about the victim's sexual history has to be approved by the judge. So it's not as they go along, it's prior to it being presented in court, which means that there's information. I think already journalists were choosing how much information they were publishing. But now the judge is going to have be a filter through which he or she can say this sexual history information is relevant or irrelevant.
That's cool.
So that's the point of that new legislation, which sounds really useful and positive.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because criminal defence lawyers are going to do what they're paid to do,
it's their job to get people off.
Exactly. So they're just going to muckrake and if there wasn't some kind of legislation like that in place, they would never stop framing women's sexual histories as a reason for assault, ever. Yeah. There's no reason for them to, because they're just trying to get a result for their client.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, it looks really good.
Speaking of positive changes, there's also some things that you can do if you want to channel all of this kind of pain of the past month into good things. Grace's family has actually launched their own charity where they collect up handbags and fill them with kind of nice toiletries and useful things. And it's called, it's called Love Grace. I think you can find it on Instagram. And they donate them to women who need them, women suffering at the hands of men across the world. So I think that's, you know, a good start. There's a piece we published on the spin-off, which I think we actually initially ran last December when the news first broke that Grace was missing, about different ways you can donate your money and your time and also take care of yourself. I mean, that's the thing. I always find it a bit selfish when these stories are happening, that's my instinct, is I want to know how to stop feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
I got to the point where, like, I was having nightmares about Grace Verlaine because of all the coverage I was reading.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, I know that I was, like, hurting me and it was bad for my brain. But at that point, I'm like, I feel like that's when the responsibility's on the platform to stop.
Yeah.
I don't even have to click on the story to see the horror.
Right.
It's in the headline. It's in the photo.
It's
everywhere. And I just think, I don't know what we do about it. Just give us a break. Give us a break, because I can't.
Just write the stuff that helps and not just everything. Not just everything.
Yeah. And maybe I've been thinking a lot about what we do to take care of ourselves, and that I'm going to talk about feminist rage now off the back, because one of the things that that I think we're encouraged to do when you're in a position like you were, Alex, where you're having nightmares about a case that's in the news, is to pour a hot bath or buy a lipstick or be mindful or, you know, those sort of personal individual things. And I am increasingly of the opinion that we're being told to buy a lipstick when actually we need to fucking shout our heads off.
Right.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah. And all that meditation, self-care, mindfulness is possibly patriarchal bullshit to some degree, not entirely. I mean, I have to do stuff for my own mental well-being as well. But it should go hand in hand with the opportunity to scream into a peopled void.
Totally.
So so I'm going to tell you about what we did in Wellington during the Verb Festival. There's the Verb Festival runs for a few days in Wellington in November, and then on the Saturday there's Lit Crawl, and one of the events that I was part of, and it was my favourite event of 2019, was Feminist Rage, where people were invited. It was basically an open mic where I emceed and we invited people to get up and talk about the things that fuck them off. And it could be a song or a poem or a rant or a whatever it wanted, anybody, however they wanted to express it, for an hour at Caroline's in Wellington. And it was just, so there are 180 people, maybe, mostly women. People like Jessie Bray Sharpen, who I adore, got up and did a piece about historical women of history who haven't been remembered as they should be. Someone else, Rebecca, somebody, did a fantastic, what's her name, Wainwright song. It's bloody motherfucking
Martha.
Martha, thank you. See, I wrote all this down and left my piece of paper on. Melody Thomas got up and talked about some of her experiences of assault, which was so amazing. And I led the room in a fuck you cunt chant, which made me very happy. And that, I think, opened the door for the amazing writer Becky Manawatu, who's just written a beautiful novel called Owe, to get up and tell a story about a boy who was murdered when she was a little girl, that just, you know, the whole room collapsed. And so people were angry and full of rage and mournful, and people were funny. There was a woman, nobody seems to know who she was, but she was amazing. She did a song about periods. It was so fucking great. And so, and we heard what women's voices sound like when they're angry, and we did some chanting, and I realized at one point that actually I could, you know, if I'd been an evil person, I could have taken them out on the street with pitchforks and torches, and we didn't do that. And so we kind of pulled it back with some warm and loving and nurturing shouty bits as well. But I think that might be what we need to do on a more regular basis, is hear what women's voices sound like when they're angry.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
I'm into it.
Should we like, let's open the phones.
Yeah.
Dina?
Funny enough, that whole, that is like the reason for my Kia Ora Queenie this month, is someone who basically made me realize exactly the same thing, that like all this fucking yoga and mindfulness stuff that I'm doing. And then I came across this woman who was doing the opposite and just like raging. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. Yeah.
Yay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's also convenient how much of that self-care, et cetera, just feeds into
it's
like capitalism.
It's all stuff that costs money, right? You still got to buy the fucking bath bomb and the and the lipstick, even if it's vegan. And no, get in a room and shout some shit.
Yeah.
I walked around the room at one point with a microphone and said to one of the women in the front, what's made you angry recently? And she, or what would you like to say to someone that you haven't said? And she said, you never made me come. And it made the whole room just dissolve into hysteria. And then I said, the woman next to her said, I've got something I'd like to add. And she said, this is something I've never said, but I would really like to say to someone, you've made me come, you can go now.
Oh my God.
Can we come to the next one?
Yeah.
When's the next one?
Well, it was Claire Mabey's idea. She's the director of the Verb Festival and Lit Crawl. And so big, huge applause to her for thinking up this concept.
What a wonderful idea.
And I said to her, I want to do this everywhere around the country. And is that cool with you? And she said, absolutely, go for your life. So I think we should just do them at every opportunity. Get women in a room and say, let's hear what your angry voice sounds like.
Totally. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing. Transformational.
Transformational.
I love those nights.
Shall we share our cool tips of the month?
Yeah.
Things that have made our lives easier. What do we got?
I stole mine.
Yay.
I stole mine and I promised a cross-promotional plug here. I stole my cool tip from our colleague Simon Day, who is also the co-host of our food podcast, Dietary Requirements, because he showed me this and I used it in the weekend and I just cannot believe that it works. But roasting nuts, it's one of those smells of Christmas, albeit one that we've brought with us from colder climes, but I do love a roasted nut. Turns out you can just roast them in the microwave.
What?
You get a perfectly toasty, crisp, roasted nut from 3 minutes in a microwave.
Do you put oil in? Do you just put the nut?
Because it's already full of oil.
So you just put a raw nut?
Just put a raw nut in the microwave. You got to keep an eye on them a little bit, but not anywhere near like with an oven. You know how like an oven, they're like raw and burnt in under 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I struggle with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the same smells and everything?
Yeah, delicious.
Same feeling of Christmas?
Then you sort of leave them to cool a little bit and then you've got like a perfectly crunchy roasted nut.
That is fantastic.
That's such a Simon Day.
I know. I was like amazed. Yeah, microwaves. Giving us brain cancer, but.
Sure.
You know. Yeah, why
worth
not?
It. Smells great.
Worth it.
Yeah, you got to die at something.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my stolen cool tip.
That's a lovely Christmas tip as well, exactly. Which is what we like here at On the Rag.
So I've got a tip that it's going to be like one of my usual ones where I go, I discovered this, and everybody's going to go, yeah, we all knew that, Michelle. So, you know, I've been having trouble with my skin. I'm sensitive to everything. Things bring me out in a rash. Sometimes it's pussy. Sometimes it bleeds. Sometimes it's cracked. And it's been going on for a year. And I went to a very fancy dermatologist. And she tested 30 things on my back for a week. Mm. And then another 12 ingredients that are from the skincare that I've been using. And she said, stop using all of it. Use nothing. Apart from, and I said, well, how do I wash my face and how do I moisturize it and what about sunscreen? And she said, you go to the medicinal part of the supermarket and you get a medicated face wash. I'm using Cetaphil, it doesn't matter, you can get other ones. A face wash and sorbeline cream and you can get medicated sunscreens with no parabens or fragrances. And that's it. So I've spent probably $36 a cleanser and a moisturizer and a sunscreen, and my skin has completely cleared up.
Wow.
And she said, stop using all that expensive stuff, save your money, and spend it on gin. So that's my dermatologist's advice for Christmas.
That's so different to the lady that told me I have too many secrets. Where's the regulation? $130, there you go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I gave away all my skincare. I have followed medical advice as well and not the secrets advice. And I'm now on a quite aggressive skin medication, but it's working. And I did the same thing over the weekend. I took all my expensive products because she was like, you don't need to put anything on your skin anymore. Just let it work and just use Cetaphil and don't worry. And so I gave all my expensive skincare away, and it's the best.
It's the best feeling. I gave mine away too.
It's like,
I didn't receive any expensive skincare from either of you.
Sorry. Yeah. And it's not just Cetaphil. I don't want to sound like an ad for them. That's what's working for me. But there's also Sebamed and,
that looks really in boring.
The supermarket, and it's not in the skincare section. It's in the medicine section, medicated face washes and stuff. So, that's good.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It's so great,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So good. I have a little tip, which is just if there's any pet owners out there going away for Christmas who haven't sorted the care of their pet, I found this site called Pawshake, pawshake.co.nz, which actually Laura Getty put me on, who's an amazing woman who's a corny, if we've got any crossover with the Real Pod listeners right now. I interviewed her recently. She's been a full-time house sitter for like 6 years. She doesn't have she just goes from house to house.
Yeah.
And she has all these amazing insights about your home as a concept and how many things you need to carry with you, what you really need. But she told me as well, she also operates on the site called Pawshake, where people who just love animals sign up, and for $15-$20 you can book them in to come in for 30 minutes to feed and play with your cats and then leave again.
Because
I was freaking out that I was like, oh, my family's going away, we've got two cats, we don't have an auto feeder, and catteries are crazy expensive.
Yeah, and they're not good for the cats psyche.
Bad things about catteries. So I checked out this website, and it shows you people in your area, and they've all got their long CVs and recommendations. It all looks pretty legit. And so I found this lovely woman called Jessie who's going to come in and feed my cats.
Cool.
I'm so excited.
That's really good.
I thought I'd left it too late and I was really worried, but if you're in the same position as me, pawshake.co.nz.
So do they come into the house and so you leave a key for them?
I leave a key. We have a meeting. We have an introduction. You can make a little – what I loved about it is you make a little profile for your pets, like a little Facebook profile, and you get to write about their personality and put in little photos.
I bet you loved that.
It was a good time. It was a good time. But
that's really good. I like it.
Also, while we're talking about our rage, I just wanted to rage about something that I saw on Facebook. As we are getting into summer, I'm starting to get all – lovely targeted ads about how I'm just a horrible troll who needs every treatment to be acceptable.
To be summer ready.
Exactly.
To not expose your disgusting face and body to the world until all the experts.
Summer's very demanding and needy, isn't it? As a season.
It's so demanding. But I got this sponsored ad from Off and On, which admittedly I've been to before. That's where I got my Brazilian.
For
the On the Rag TV show. And they were lovely
off and on.
Exactly. And then very much on and continuing to be on since. But they were so nice to me and it was a great place. But I saw this ad from this place that said, it was like, browse Brazilians and now ... We're excited to share our take on essential maintenance for the next decade.
Essential.
That's the word that made me go, fuck off.
Yeah.
Essential maintenance.
Nah.
Nah, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
none of it's essential.
None of this is essential.
It's all for fun. Or at least should be.
Yeah, it should be fun. Also, I think it's a bit where you go, and stick a needle in your face. That's not essential. That's not...
Yeah.
I don't, that's normalizing it too much for me. I'm being judgy now, and I think I've talked about before that I have an anxiety wrinkle in between my two eyes that I get shot a couple of times a year with some Botox so that I don't look like I'm constantly terrified and upset and worried.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I don't.
Essential.
Yeah.
Would you promote that as essential to just everyone on Facebook? That's the thing. It's like, I'm not sure who that's going in front of.
Well, 20-year-olds apparently are now doing preemptive shooting the serum into their faces. Mm. I think it's worth just remembering what it does is it paralyzes a muscle. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Mm. It's,
And if you get it, that's cool. If you want to do that, that's fine. Sure. But if you want to promote it as essential maintenance, I think you should just take a hard look at what you're saying there and the message that you're sending to people who are already bloody stressed about everything on Facebook.
And saturated.
Saturated with that messaging. Right,
yeah. And in the words of my dermatologist, just save your money for gin.
That also relaxes the frown.
It does.
But yes, I found that quite annoying. I've started to shave my legs for the first time, everyone.
Oh,
for
nice. Summer.
Went all the way up.
Can I just say, I tried to grow my armpit hair it's like one of those men in Movember, and it turns out that they just can't. Some people just can't grow a moustache. I can't grow my armpit hair. I haven't done them for months.
Fuck you.
Wow. But I find that disappointing. To describe what I was saying, it was not a lot of hair. Michelle just lifted up her arm and we did not see hair. That's what prompted the fuck you from Leonie.
I don't understand it.
Theatre of the mind.
My good friend said to me after our body hair episode for On the Rag that because she is also a naturally completely hairless person, and that she was jealous of the weight of my underarm hair.
Yes, luxurious.
I was like, fuck you. Don't be out here being jealous of this thing that I've been told is disgusting my whole life because you've got your lovely natural hairless body. Like, by all means, I'm fine with being hairy, but I was like, you're not jealous. No one's jealous of that.
I was a bit. I am a bit.
Really?
I feel less of a woman for not being able to grow armpit hair.
Well, that's great that that's a thing.
Yeah. Can you get, merkins? Underarm merkins?
This is a great idea. Yeah. I could just from the $2 shop get some of those little goatees and stick them underneath.
But can you get ones that aren't your natural hair colour? So like
a
red, I have a bright purple, ginger beard red. That I used for the myth-busting thing, which you could.
I could do some snipping with that and pop it in.
You could go white for Christmas.
I'm going to do it.
Santa baby.
I could make a little Santa beardy thing with a bow. Ah, it's opened up a whole lot of crafting opportunities for me, so I'm happy.
Can I ask you both a personal question?
Yes.
Between us.
Yeah.
What do you do with your bikini line in summer?
I trim it so it doesn't hang out of my togs.
Okay.
Just that much.
What scissors do you use?
I don't.
Do you use a little clipper? I use scissors.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
fuck yeah.
I just shave around the edges of my lady garden. You do a squat position, not a full squat. You just do a legs akimbo. What is that? I don't know what I'm doing now. Like make a bridge.
You're doing something. Yeah,
make a bridge. Oh, that's a good way
to talk about. And with the, very carefully, just to go on the inside, not inside. Yeah. What?
That's when you get the.
Around the top of your thighs.
Yeah.
I just trim enough so that it doesn't hang out of my togs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the extent to which I do it as well. Also, I've kind of found that because I've got a puku, it's not actually possible for me to shave any more than that along the edges. It's just like the thigh edge.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then I wear boy short togs.
And for the pubic hair, I'm being very open. It's like Melody Thomas is in the room.
It's just between us.
If I want to trim the length of what is left, I get a comb and a little pair of scissors. And you put a comb in and then trim across so that the comb is between your body and the scissors.
That's
so there's
smart.
No
it's
so, chance.
It's like a little funny barbershop.
Yeah. It's just like that.
Sorry, groom room. Yeah.
And that's
do you use proper hairdressing scissors or no. like kitchen snips?
No, I've got some very some little scissors that I use for yeah. that.
I have used just bog standard scissors from the office. Not this office.
No, 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 not this office. The office at home. The office at home. The office at home.
Okay.
I'm like, Kieran, can I use the scissors?
No. Joe's scissors. Not that my partner's scissors.
Not that there's anything wrong. I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to catch something off the scissors that somebody used to cut their hair.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's just a thought of it.
But yeah, because sometimes when, you know, like quite long. Like, right. In your kind of combing situation.
Mm. I understand.
Bog standard scissors. I just asked that because I tried to have a go with the old razor and I instantly just shaving bumps and like right. really crazy dramas there. And I'm wondering if there's another way.
I remember
way.
I shared some tips ages ago when I started discovering all those great like hoe tips Instagram
yes.
accounts.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like from strippers and like how to handle like razor bumps and burns and stuff. Mm. And they were like alcohol wipes. And these were like people who were like, I shave every single day. Mm. And then I just make sure that I go over everything with like alcohol wipes so that your pores are completely clean and closed.
Right.
This after you finish after shaving. Shaved. And then it's always like yeah. totally smooth.
Great. Yeah. The other thing I got with body gloves, you know, the exfoliating body gloves from the body shop? Not when I'm shaved. Well, but you just exfoliate after you've shaved.
The action you're doing. Very good.
That one there. Just get in there. Get in there. Round the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that we all do it.
Yes.
So none of us have little tufts going on.
Oh, I sometimes do. Mm. I mean, I wear boy short togs anyway, but there's sometimes tufts. I'm not that fussed. If I was wearing like a full sort of high cut Brazilian cut bikini, I probably wouldn't go as tufty. Mm. I think with like a boy short, no one really notices.
No.
I don't get how you wear those high cut bikinis.
I mean,
without things coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either side.
Yeah. I don't get it either. It's a lot of adjustment all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to stick it. I want to stick it with glue.
I think after, because when I was pregnant, I did a lot of swimming and I didn't buy maternity togs because that seemed silly. So my ordinary togs turned into a bit of a high cut scenario because they had to go a long way over the bump. And I didn't realize because, you know, you can't see what's going on there that. Yeah, no, bits were falling out.
Coming out all over the
tower. Right. That's all right. No,
that's all right. Not, I do quite like how high cut togs look. I think they make your legs look crazy.
Oh, they
crazy
look amazing. And they make your bum look insane.
It's a bit much admin for me.
But I'm like, insane bum, kind of exposing some sort of labia. I don't know. It's a difficult trade off for me. What I really want to wear is one of those like skirts. Bring back like the water skirt.
Your little pretty skirt.
Because then you don't need to worry about anything.
Hey, they've got heaps of them at Kmart.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Kmart, if you're a bigger or older person, have got a great range of stuff that has like underwire in it and ruching if you care about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And like mix and match stuff so you can get like a t-shirt cut or a bikini top with a boy leg or a bike short or whatever. Like, it's great. It's for normal people togs.
Yeah, great.
Did I tell you that I actually, without realizing it, got suckered in? You know how there's always those Herald stories being like, Kmart product, gone viral, and it's always like a vacuum cleaner or something. I bought a pair of togs.
Yeah.
From that. Did I talk about this last
week?
No. I don't believe it.
And I didn't realize that I had been viral marketed to me until I got home. Oh. And I was like, put them on, and I was like, holy shit, these are the togs that I saw on the Herald the other day. And it was this like amazing leopard print bikini, like two-piece. It's got tummy control.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. High-waisted. But yeah, it's that whole, the bikini women are going crazy for it. It was all over all these websites and I just didn't realize that I had been influenced subconsciously.
Wow.
And I brought them home. But yeah, Kmart's definitely worth a look.
Yeah.
Really good underwire stuff.
Yeah.
Really great.
Great.
Really great. Some good news. First male contraceptive set to be released soon in India, mm-hmm. and all it means is you have to get an injection straight into your ball sack.
Ooh.
They'll be lining up around the block.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Boys love that.
Yeah.
So close to the testicles, not quite. Not quite in
it's
there.
It's not going to take off.
I don't know. It lasts for 13 years. That's the plan. So it's an alternative to a permanent vasectomy.
Oh.
So it's not like you have to inject yourself every day or every month or every time you have sex. That's you get that injection.
Can you get smaller amounts so that it doesn't last as long?
It doesn't say that they've done that. But I think that for somebody who doesn't want to have children for a long period of time but doesn't want to have a full vasectomy or has a cultural possible reason for not doing that, I don't know. Anyway, so there's a possibility. You would want – the thing about male contraception for me is that I would find it hard to trust that they – you know, if somebody said, I had my testicles injected and I can't make babies for 13 years – I would find it so hard. Until men are equally responsible for pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting, I find it really hard to.
I mean, you'd probably only be having unprotected sex with someone you were already in a relationship with then. So you'd probably, like, be at the point.
Yeah.
You'd be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can probably. I probably trust you to.
Yeah.
I just can't see it taking off. A needle in your balls situation, and B, it lasting for such a long time.
But don't you?
I mean, maybe the fact that it's launching in India means that, like, there's reasons that's the market that it's maybe most needed in. I don't know. But
surely a needle in the balls is less invasive than a smear. I mean, you know, it's a.
I'm not.
They're thin needles.
You have to go under local anaesthetic as well, though.
So. Oh, really?
Oh, well, pussies. What a bunch of
I feel like every, like, 2 years there's, like, an announcement about a male contraceptive. You just never hear about it again. And sometimes it's a patch and sometimes it's a pill. And everyone's like, the revolution is here. Men are going to have to take some responsibility. And then you never hear about it ever again.
And I feel like they're not actually trying very hard on what they develop.
Yeah.
We're not really doing their best thinking on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's an appetite.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem. The market's not screaming for this because they're like, well, the ladies are doing a good enough job.
Yeah. We'll leave you to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Take a pill every day.
There's a horrible, I don't even know if this is a mansplain moment. It's just real yuck. There's news about T.I. and his daughter's hymen checks every birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Rapper T.I. takes his daughter along to the doctor?
Disgusting.
It's revolt.
It's unbelievable.
It's bullying, an invasion of privacy, and a violation of a young woman's human rights for her father to take her to the gynecologist every year to check that her hymen is intact, which is bullshit also because you can break your hymen with a tampon or a bicycle. You don't have to put the Just riding a bicycle is what I mean. Playing sports or just about anything, really.
Even, like, in the conversation, he talks about how the doctor explains that to him, that you can break your hymen in horse riding, any kind of athletic activity. And he just says to the doctor, she doesn't ride no horses and she doesn't ride no bikes, so just check the hymen and we'll be on our way.
Yeah, really so controlling.
So crazy.
The nice part, the update, is that New York State lawmakers have introduced bills that would stop doctors from performing virginity exams, and it's directly following on from this chat from TI about how he's keeping this. So this just came out yesterday or the day before. So they say that it's what we've just said, a violation of human rights, and the bill wouldn't outlaw all medical hymen examinations, but specifically the performance of hymen examinations on women as a means to ascertain whether a woman is a virgin.
Imagine being so wildly off the mark with your, like, opinions that the law changes.
Because
it's something you said on a chat show.
Because it's something you said on a podcast.
Yeah. If only we had that power, right?
It speaks so much to the patriarchal view that virginity has value. It doesn't have value. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, I do understand, but it's bullshit.
Absolutely. It led to a very good Reductress headline.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys follow Reductress?
Sometimes,
I do.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Reductress, and the headline was, Oh, where did it go? Why I accompany my son to the penis doctor to make sure his schlong is bone dry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love Reductress.
So good. Just...
Every morning I get up and I swab my son's penis just to make sure it hasn't been anywhere. So that's great.
Just normal. Oh, normal behavior for a parent.
Oh, dear. Should we talk a little bit about our Christmas? We've got Christmas coming up.
Christmas.
We'll be, this is probably the prime time to do it, actually, because our final part of the year will probably be too late for people if you're embarking on Christmas shopping or you're already in the thick of it.
Can I just also just say a really quick fuck you to everybody who's finished their Christmas shopping? I'm sick of hearing that nonsense from people.
Do those people exist?
And, you know, it was when somebody says in October or September that they've already done their Christmas shopping, all I can think is I bet they're really shit presents. Mm. I bet they're thoughtless. Mm. That's probably not true, and I apologise. And well done. Congratulations.
A bit aggressive, Michelle.
Love and support to everybody who's all finished on the Christmas shopping. Well done.
I've done a little bit.
Respect and admire you.
Love and light.
What'd you get
and
me?
Light.
What's mine?
I'm going to try and not buy anything new this Christmas.
Yay! That's cool.
I've only bought one thing, and it was on Trade Me. I love Christmas shopping on Trade Me. It is my favourite thing in the whole world. I spend hours scouring through bizarre, like the antiques and collectibles, kind of weird as categories.
Not shopping from the comfort of your own house.
Exactly.
No parking,
getting in bidding
issues,
wars.
No buses to catch.
Cursing people who live in Lower Hutt bidding against me on redacted product.
That clown ceramic is mine.
But yeah, is there anything else, any other little tips or anything you want to share coming into Christmas?
Well, I am working on at the moment what will be an annual tradition, which is the Aotea Kirihimete gift guide. So that is how to support Māori businesses and makers, although this year we're making it Māori and Pasifika businesses and makers. And so I'm like halfway through like this mega list of like amazing stuff, and it's really hard to like narrow everything down and like coordinate all the bits and pieces and make sure that, you know, everyone has like a shop either in real life or a website that you can go to. But there's some fucking cool stuff, man. And like heaps of it is like cosmetics and things. Although cosmetics is the wrong word when you're talking about rongoā Māori. Nice stuff for your skin. Cosmetics makes it sound like it's just like surface, but rongoā is like skincare, I guess. Heaps of stuff like that. So people are really leaning into traditional knowledge with native ingredients and then using like their local knowledge around how those ingredients work, because it can vary from area to area, which I really like. And lots of cool handmade, lots of jewellery and,
nice.
It's beautiful. So keep an eye out for that gift guide. It'll be up it'll be up by the time this podcast comes out.
That's great. I'm using there are two stores in my neighborhood. Both of them are independently owned by a woman, two different women. So whatever shopping I've done so far has been on those two stores. Presents for grandchildren is experiences. I'm taking my granddaughter to the Royal New Zealand Ballet. Very excited. She's excited. Shown her photos. It's very cool. And then my delightful partner came home with the books that he's giving to the grandchildren, and they're all feminist books, picture books, like on Jean Batten and various. So, yeah. Not bad. Not bad. So just trying to be really thoughtful about sending my money to local businesses and giving people experiences rather than stuff.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I did our last episode of the On the Reg web series, which is still in the production process, but should be out by the end of the year, is about sort of sustainability and gift buying. And I did an interview with the woman who owns Crushes on Karangahape Road. And she was talking about something that I hadn't really thought of, which I am definitely guilty of, which is like the novelty gift as a concept, and how that's all just pure waste.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all about, my favorite thing is like giving a gift that someone laughs at hard out when they open it, and then they actually, you know, they don't do anything with it after that. And I'm so guilty of that because I love that moment of surprise and joy, and trade off is difficult for me.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm looking on the antiques and collectibles part of trade mix. If it's secondhand and it's funny, then it's fine.
And re-gifting hilarity, you know, you can be comfortable with them then gifting it to somebody next year.
That's true.
As long as it's not back to you. You've got to be very careful with the re-gifting that you know where it came from.
Mm. Well, so everyone in my family is getting a spin-off book.
Oh, that's, yes. Everybody's getting, well, a spin-off book and a funny as. This year.
Oh, nice. Good.
Available in all good bookstores. Mm-hmm. How much does it cost?
$39.98.
Even cheaper.
$38.
And I'm not hosting Christmas.
Oh, hey.
So excited about that.
So great.
Going to Tauranga and hanging out with the grandchildren at the hot pools and having fish and chips on the beach. No one's cooking.
Perfect.
It's going to be great.
Great.
Perfect. Shall we plow into our watch club and read club, especially coming up to, you know, summer break? It's always good to have some stuff to chill out to. I'm terrible. I only just watched Billy Elliot.
For the first time.
For the first so good.
Time in my whole life.
Wow. I'm kind of jealous that you had that as a, you know, like, so I wish I could see it for the first time.
I was like in the moment, you know, I'm having trouble at the moment with watching things in general. I have start and stop about four different movies before I settle on a film, and I hate it. And it's starting to really become something that bothers me and gives me a lot of anxiety when I sit down to relax in front of Netflix that I just don't want to fucking choose.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I need right now. I don't know what's good. Mm. So I was like, Throwback Thursday. Billy Elliot seems like a classic thing. Ugh.
Did
so good.
It?
I cried. I wept the whole time. Yay. I wanted to dance. I really loved it. I also really enjoyed, I watched Ingrid Goes West, which is also just arrived on Netflix quite recently. It's Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen. And it's like an interesting, I feel like it's one of the best movies I've seen about social media, kind of, what's the word? Obliquely? Like not directly about social media, but it's about the impacts of it that is like not real on the nose. Like it's about Aubrey Plaza's kind of spiral into becoming obsessed with like a perfect Instagram woman who is Elizabeth Olsen, and eventually moving to LA and kind of following her in real life and becoming just way too close. It's really, really good. I just highly recommend it. It's just a fantastic film.
Cool.
What do you guys got?
I watched Booksmart,
yes,
which you loved, didn't you?
Oh.
And it was, I love it. I want to watch it again, but I watched it on a plane and the man sitting next to me on the plane, when it got to the sex scene in the bathroom, which is so gorgeous and funny, and he got really uncomfortable. And there was a moment, because I watched, you know, things on planes before and realised that there's a child sitting next to me, and suddenly there's something going on that shouldn't be seen by it, and you go, oh, I didn't want to watch that at all. No, I will go find something else. But I just looked at him and went, I don't know. Just this is normal. This isn't. Yeah. So anyway, it was great. What a great movie!
Oh, it's such a good movie.
So fantastic script. Wonderful dialogue. It's just the whole tone and attitude of it was wonderful. It made me very happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got through the sex scene, okay? The man was all right.
Oh, yeah. He was okay. He wriggled in his seat a little bit and gave me the odd look out of the corner of his eye, and fuck him.
It's amazing he didn't pretend to be asleep. That's the classic, isn't it?
I just
shut your eyes.
He probably was like, also wanted to watch it, but was also scandalized, but couldn't stop watching.
Yeah, he couldn't do it. I had to watch the Air New Zealand safety video that involved the ladies in the swimsuits. So we've all been uncomfortable on a plane.
Just cheering it around. I watched this last week, or maybe the week before, a film that's been on Netflix for like 2 years, but I just decided I didn't want to watch it. It's called Okja by Bong Joon-ho, who's a South Korean director. And I had been aware of this movie, but it wasn't until I watched his film that came out this year, Parasite, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Oh, yes.
And Parasite was my absolute favourite movie of this year. Absolutely loved it. Amazing sort of like brutal but also really darkly funny sort of look at class and career and this family sort of trying to manipulate their way up the social ladder. It's gorgeous to look at. It's totally brutal in its like critiques of capitalism. It's just amazing. And so I was looking for other films of his and then realized that this movie I'd been avoiding on Netflix was his, Okja, which is about a sort of like this dystopian film about the production of like this new kind of super pig, which is supposedly going to consume less, have a smaller carbon footprint, and be this like amazing new futuristic meat source. And then there's this corporation in charge of it, with Tilda Swinton at the head of it. And she is so deranged and amazing. But the reason I thought it was like a cool, like on the Rag Watch Club, is the central character is this young girl, teen, preteen, very young. And she's basically been tasked with like raising one of these super pigs for the corporation, and then the corporation are going to come back and take it away. And so she has to fight to get her friend back because they basically have like a psychic link at this point. And she's just so incredible and nuanced, and the actress is just like this intense, like she's just one of the coolest female characters I've seen in a movie in such a long time.
Wow.
Also, never eating red meat ever again. Had a much more profound effect on me than any documentary I've ever, really? Ever seen about vegetarianism.
Wow.
These like made up animals somehow.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like really scathing critique on, again, capitalism and food production and greenwashing and like using those kinds of messages to sort of sell capitalism to people.
Yeah.
As well as sort of, you know, mass farming. It's amazing. He's amazing.
Can I have some ham for Christmas and then watch it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't do it
don't
the other,
do
way,
the other
around.
Way around.
Yeah.
That sounds great. You hit me at Tilda Swinton.
I know.
Honest.
Yeah, always.
She's incredible.
Has she got like a wig and some interesting teeth in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God, yeah, I love that.
big old teeth. Actually, two different characters in the film. So she's got a couple of wigs and a couple of teeth.
So great. I also wanted to shout out a book I've just started reading on my old Kindle, which is called Her Body and Other Stories by Carmen Maria Machado. It's this amazing like collection of short stories. I don't normally like a short story. I'm going to be completely honest. Short stories, short films, two of the art forms I struggle with the most. Yeah. But this one's like a bit sexy.
It's okay like, when it's erotic.
It's a little bit erotic. It's like her stories, they're all, as the title kind of suggests, she's very like obsessed with the body and the way that the body operates and bodies relating to each other. So like there's often, yeah, it's often a bit kind of in the weeds, fluids and stuff. But then it's also kind of like horrible as well. It's like just really interesting. Like stories can pivot into like a horror story from something, you know, quite sexy, and it's all over the place. It starts off very real and then they go incredibly fantastical and bizarre and almost like fairy tales or like old, who's that, it's Christian Anderson. Like those kind of darkness kind of comes through. I've just really been enjoying it. I also found that's why like the short story or the essay is all I can read before bed now.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise I can't stick with like a long form thing because my brain's broken and it's not my fault. But now I'm getting into short stories, so every cloud.
Yeah, short stories are good.
Yeah. So that's Her Body and Other Stories. Do we have any other reads? Any other read clubs?
Have we talked about Caroline Calloway before, the influencer? The one who had the car crash creativity workshops?
I don't know if we have.
So she was an influencer, like not one of the sort of mega influencers, had like sub a million followers, but a lot of followers, and she decided to do this tour of creativity workshops, which were like fire festival car crash. She was like charging people $165 to attend and then couldn't deliver on all the stuff that she'd promised. Like she promised to like make everyone lunch and they ended up getting like a piece of soggy eggplant on some spinach and just super disorganized, couldn't follow through on any of her big ideas. But then she also got given like a six-figure book deal. And the ghostwriter for that was this woman, Natalie Beach. So her and this woman, Natalie Beach, were like friends. But the book process went on and on and on and on and on. And it turned into this like very toxic thing that a lot of people were sort of experiencing through social media. And then finally Natalie Beach wrote about the experience. So they were sort of like 7 years, I guess, of friendship. And it is the most amazing thing I've read in ages.
Wow.
It is like, it's about just the most toxic friendship imaginable. It's about sort of like class differences and being out of, you know, feeling out of place.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, it's also just sort of like all of our modern ills in person form. Like Caroline Calloway is such a flawed, like, yeah, she's like a walking version of every problem we have. And so, but she's very relatable for that reason as as being someone like, just like, you couldn't imagine being friends with this person because she's so toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really great. So the story's called The Story of Caroline Calloway and Her Ghostwriter Natalie by Natalie Beach, and it's on The Cut.
Great.
And if I've actually never mentioned this before, because I tell everyone, if you have stories like online features or whatever that you want to save to read later, I use an app called Instapaper. And so it's like an app on my phone, and then you also log in and you've got a little widget on your desktop.
Yeah.
And so you just click the widget and it saves all these stories that you want to come to later in one app, but also saves them offline.
Oh, so it's not like putting them through Safari and then you're on a plane and you go, where's it?
Yeah. It's all downloaded offline. So this is what I do for my summer reads, is anything I didn't get around to reading throughout the year, I save, I just add them to my Instapaper. And good for planes as well, again, because it's offline.
Instapaper?
Instapaper. There's probably other apps that do the same thing.
I want your one.
Yeah.
That's another reading tip.
So you can save them on your computer and it goes to your telephone?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Little eye widget here.
That is so cool.
Just click that and it saves whatever page
that
I'm on.
That is a hot tip.
We should actually do like summer long form reads of the year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of books that I read were Renee Liang and Michelle Powell's When We Remember to Breathe, which is this amazing book that they wrote. They sent chapters to each other. Well, it was originally paragraphs. When they were pregnant, they were both pregnant at the same time, and they wanted to record that, and it ended up that they wrote it over 2 years, I think. And so they would send each other a paragraph. This is what is going through my mind as I wait to birth this child. And it's beautiful. It's they're both incredible writers, and it's really poetic and lovely, and an amazing record of pregnancy and birth and those early years with children, which we don't write about because we're too fucking tired. And so that, you know, they don't get recorded. So I found those really exciting. And also Amy Brown's Neon Days, which is she's a beautiful writer and poet who started the first day of her son's life writing notes on a hospital serviette. And she wrote a little thing every day for the first 9 months of his life, I'm thinking, or 6 months. So she wrote a poem every day, basically, and then went back and looked at all her notes on various scattered bits of paper and wrote a commentary to go with them. And it's really beautiful. It's really poetic and sort of floating in the air stuff.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. So they'd be great gifts for anybody who is about to have children or is dealing with the early years of having the little darlings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little angels.
That was a great read club. Can I just say? Good grief.
The range.
Get your reading list ready. Let's finish up with our Kia Ora Queenie of the month, who's been doing cool shit. I would like to nominate a child. Kaylee Dryden, who fought. She's 7 years old, and she wrote a letter. I've forgotten where her school was. Dunedin St. Francis Xavier Catholic School wrote to the principal and the board outlining her frustrations with her school pinafore and put on a really passionate case for wearing shorts. And she won.
Hey.
And I just really liked this little quote from Kaylee now that she's been able to wear shorts to school. I can hang upside down. I can be free. It's fun and good on the monkey bars. And I was just like,
I want that tattooed on my shoulder.
Kills me. You're a hero.
Beautiful.
The wisdom, the poetry. So that was my itty bitty kia ora Queenie.
That is fantastic. My shout out is to the four of the women whose stuff I've, well, you, yeah, as well as Alex Casey makes fun, who have sat through days and days and days of the Grace Mullane case and the Amber Rose case as well, and have written thoughtful pieces that distill lots of the ideas and give us a way forward. So Nicola Gavey, Ali Moore, Kirsty Johnston and Melody Thomas all wrote pieces that made me go, I'm really glad you did the heavy lifting for us on that one and came up with some wise things.
Mm-hmm. Kia ora Queenie.
100%.
Mine's also a child.
Yes.
She's English, but she's got quite a big Twitter presence. So she's called Nandi Bushel and she's a drummer. She's 9 years old. And she regularly releases these videos of her drumming along to her favourite rock songs. And so she's who I referred to earlier when you were talking about like raging instead of soothing as a way of getting stuff, calming yourself down. And so I was having sort of like a, you know, why am I stressed? Why am I anxious? Why are all these things I'm doing not working? And then I saw this video of her drumming to In Utero by Nirvana and yelling. It's not just the drumming, it's the fact that she just yells at the top of her lungs the entire time that she's drumming. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. That looks so much better than yoga. And so now I follow her and like all of her videos are like equally sort of like joyful and energetic. And like, as you can imagine, because it's the internet, people are dicks to her, or rather about her. Like, it's not news that a girl can drum. Anyone can play the drums. Because she's also like a young girl of color as well, and people are like, "You're only famous." But actually, she's famous because she is an energetic powerhouse of joy loves what she does.
Does it make you feel great when you're watching her?
It is instant. It's like drugs.
Yeah,
it's just like instantly high every time I watch other videos. So Nandi Bushel is my Kia ora Queenie for the month.
Nandi Bushel.
Yeah.
That is the perfect name.
Perfect name.
She's delightful.
I want to go and watch some vids right now.
Yeah, I recommend it.
All right. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. Made it to the end of the podcast. We'll be back one more time this year for we're going to do a year in review.
One
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the rest of that song?
I was going to go celebrate.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much to the Women's Bookshop. Thank you to you at home. Wow. I know this is where I always start to pants it, eh?
So beautiful.
We'll see you next month. Goodbye.
See you later.
Just dance.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.